Thank you, music leaders, blessing our hearts today. It's always easy to preach here, but it's really easier after great heart, spirit rousing music that challenges us to our bones and our hearts to the world. This morning, we continue our sermon series entitled The 25 Greatest Days in the Bible. But first, I want to start with the picture on the screen and see what you think of that. Now, just take a look for a second. There should be three of us in the worship center that knows where this picture is taken. Obviously, this family closed in a side porch and just left the steps there. There are steps to nowhere. The picture is taken in Port Gibson last month, when my wife and I went down to Natchez to celebrate my mother's 83rd birthday. We were coming up 61 North, and Karen says, we just never get off of the 61. Let's ride around Port Gibson and see the sights. So we went around the courthouse and came back and hopped over 61, and we're going through the neighborhood between the highway and the cemetery, and I saw this picture, and I said, stop, give me your phone. And I took a picture of the steps that go nowhere. Now, Karen, I know where this house is. Linda, do you know where this house is? It is near her childhood home in Port Gibson. You may know the family that did that. I don't know the story behind it. You can tell me later. But it's the steps that go nowhere. An interesting picture, kind of an eye-catching picture. One that sets a stage for us to think about something that's a lot more important than steps that go nowhere is the fact that life is always going somewhere. Life is always in transition. Your life and mine is always arriving at decision points. Not one of us in this worship center this morning can use that picture to describe our life, because life is always going somewhere. If for no other, it's headed toward the cemetery. Life is never lived in neutral. Some of you may think this morning that you're in a time in your life where you're stuck in neutral, but the truth is, the transmission gear of life only has forward and reverse. Now, I wish I'd been smart enough to think of that. I can only read it and repeat it to you. In the transmission of life, there are only two gears, forward and reverse. And every one of us in this room this morning is either going forward or we have put our hearts in reverse and we're backsliding, we're going back. So putting all this together, your life is going somewhere this morning. It's not like the steps on the house at Port Gibson. Your life is not in neutral. Your life is either going forward or backward. And the good news I have this morning as I stand in this holy desk and share with you God's word is that God goes with us. He is a God who is walking with us and leading us into every transition. And as we go to every decision point in our life, God goes with us. He leads us and guides us. Every one of us in this room this morning is in some transition in your life. And all of us are always going to some decision point. What are some of these transitions? Think with me. Being born. Learning to walk and talk and eat on our own. Going to school. Entering the next school grade or the next school level. Becoming adolescent. Driving. Dating. Graduating from high school. Going to college. Choosing a career. Getting married. Taking a new job, moving far away from your roots, having a child, watching that child grow up, the death of a parent, a spouse, a child, a grandparent, a friend is a transition. Promotions and career moves are transitions. Life adjustments, financial ups and downs, sickness, divorce, debt, setbacks and successes are some of the transitions that all of us have faced or in the middle of today or will face. There are various twists and turns at every age of young and old. The senior adult years, failing health, disability, being alone, retirement, care homes, nursing homes, death. I think you get the picture that no matter who you are and where you are, what age you are in a transition. You and I are always going forward, or wrongfully we can choose to put life in reverse and go back against God. We're always in a transition. We're always at a decision point. None of us are in neutral. And this is where the book of Joshua comes in. And if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to the sixth book of the Bible, the book of Joshua, because Joshua shows us how to go through the transitions of life. In chapter 3, verse 4b, listen to what God told Joshua. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. What's he talking about? It. It is the ark of God. And God gave Joshua clear instructions for Israel to stay 10 football fields, 1,000 yards behind the ark, as the ark moved out of the camp on the eastern side of the Jordan River and moved to the Jordan River, and they would later cross the Jordan River. You stay behind me, because the ark was the symbol of the presence of God. It had led the people of God from Sinai now for 40 years. And you don't need to overcome it. You need to stay behind it, for you have never been this way before. God's people, with the exception of two, Joshua and Caleb, had never been in the promised land. They had never lived there. They had never been there. They had heard the stories of it, but they had never been this way before. And that applies to you and me today, because as you are going into some transition in your life, you have never been here before in your life, but God is ahead of us and God is with us. Joshua shows us that we can go through life in every transition because God is with us, because He is leading us. Many have called the Joshua the book of victory. Do you need a victory in your life today? Are you headed into some transition, stuck in some transition, headed out of a transition, maybe fearing the next transition stage in your life? I've got a book in the Bible for you, the book of victory, the book of Joshua. You go to the next book, Judges, it's the book of defeat. It's how not to live life. And preeminently, Joshua says, here is how you live life and experience victory. If a rod is the symbol of Moses' life, a sword is a symbol for Joshua, because it is a book of battles. It is a book of warfare, spiritual and physical, but it's the Lord's war, not Israel's war. He is the one with them and leading them. And this morning, I want us to think about Joshua. There are three men in the Bible named Joshua. I wish I had all day to tell you about all three, but I don't. The first one is this guy here, this soldier leader. This faithful spy, this successor to Moses, this man born in Egypt who's going to die in the promised land, this preeminent leader of men. Well, that's one. There's a second one in the book of Zechariah, the third chapter. He's the high priest of God's people returned from Babylonian captivity when they're rebuilding the second temple. And something happens. Something happens which happens in your life and mine. Satan comes along and says, he's not fit to serve you, God. And the Bible says in Zechariah 3 that Satan accuses Joshua. And here's what God says in Matt's language. I think you'll understand it. Back off, man. For this is a brand plucked from fire, and he's going to be cleansed, and he will serve me. You see, Satan's always wanting to accuse you that you're not fit to serve God. But there's one way that you can be fit, and that is to let the Lord cleanse you. And then there's a third Joshua in the Bible. You know him as Jesus. For you've heard your Sunday school teachers and you've heard your Bible teachers over the years tell you that Joshua in Hebrew is the same as Jesus in Greek. The name means the Lord is salvation. And so today we focus on this first of these three great Joshuas in the Bible. Now, if you got your Bible open to the sixth book there, the book of Joshua, we don't have time to go back and look at Joshua's life before this, only taking him right here and walking with him for the rest of his life until his death. And in the book of Joshua, we see five movements. I call them five transitions. Five times in Joshua's life and in Israel's life that they're going to move forward into and through something. Something good, something bad. And at every transition, we're going to see how God is leading his people. And the simple application, as you and I move into a transition, as you and I are in the middle of a transition of life, as you and I are facing a transition of life, the certainty of God leading Joshua and Israel, that same certainty is given to you as a blood-bought, saved, born-again child of God. Now, what are these five movements? First of all, in chapter 1, look at verses 1 through 9. Here is the book of Joshua opening up. And God speaks to Joshua and tells him, I've chosen you, and I'm commanding you to get on with the work that I've given you. So here is being commanded and comforted. Secondly, if you look at chapter 1, verse 10, and you go through 5:15, here is Joshua leading the people, preparing themselves to go into the promised land. And once they get in the promised land, what they are to do next, before they start marching into battle, there were some facets of preparation. And then third, leading the people to defeat Jericho, conquering the land, central, south, and north, and ultimately allotting the land to the 12 tribes. That's the dominance of the book, chapter 6 through 22. And then something sad happens. The repenting and the repairing of the wrongs suffered at the Battle of Ai. That's chapter 7 and 8. And then the last two chapters are Joshua's challenge to the people to live for God, chapters 23 and 24. So you have these five transitions: getting ready, moving, winning, defeating, suffering an inglorious defeat, coming out of the ashes of that, settling the land, and then hearing this great leader's closing challenges. Five transitions. I want to pick out three this morning and share them with you, because I'm looking at a congregation of people who are in transitions. I don't care who you are, how young you are, how old you are. I don't care what you've been through. Don't care what you're in. Don't care what you're going through. Every one of us is in some kind of transition in life. And the good news in Jesus Christ is that we do not go through these God-orchestrated, God-controlled transitions in life in fear, but we go through them in faith as God touches our hearts and holds our hands and leads us forward, just as he did with one of the greatest men of Scripture. He'll do with any Christian that is in this room today. The first of these five transitions that enables us to go through ours is this: we are commanded by God to accomplish his task. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, I believe we have one of the most important passages in the Bible. On August the 16th, 1990, a Thursday morning, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, for those of you who know me, that's not unusual. I'm an early bird. For some of you, a weird bird that I would like to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5. But that's all right. But that morning, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I eased out of bed and went to where my Bible was and I began reading, for I was scared to death. What was going on in my life? It was my first day to go to work at the Baptist building. I had just turned 34, just 5 days previously. I was going to go into that building and work with men who were the age of my father. And as I turned out, one or two of those older men said, I got a grandson your age. I was scared to death. Though I had been in the ministry 15 years, I was scared to death that day. What is God up to lead me out of a comfortable pastorate and to bring my family to a land that we have never lived before, Madison, to just pick up and to come and to put down? And the stirring of the Holy Spirit in my heart this morning was it went to Joshua 1, 1 through 9, where God outlines for Joshua his plans and his promises and his power and his peace. And that passage spoke to me. And I got my briefcase, which was absolutely empty, got in the car and went and served there nearly 14 years. Then on June the 28th, 2004, same scenario. I woke up early, scared to death. What was going on? It was my first day as pastor of this church, which was deeply divided and deeply disorganized and deeply dysfunctional. What is God up to pluck me from something so comfortable that I have figured out and put me in a place I've never been before? And the Holy Spirit stirred in my heart, and I went back to the same passage where God told Joshua, where the Bible was telling me, here are my plans for you. Here are my promises. Here is my power. Here is my presence in your life. Joshua, as you saw me work in the life of Moses, so shall I work in you. As you saw me with him, so I will be with you. And friend, no matter what transition it is in life, whether you're early in life looking at some heavyweights or you're looking at a lot of life in the rearview mirror, it does not matter what transition we are in. God is with us, and he takes us by the hand and the heart, and he leads us with the same certainty he led this man of God and the people of Israel across the promised land and to go into a land where they had never been before. And it would be the land flowing with milk and honey. And it would be the place that God had promised to Abraham 450 years before. And it would be a place where they live then. And it would be a place where they live today. No matter what transition you're going through, no matter how much of a broken heart, how many tears you've shed, how many fears you have, it doesn't matter. As you and I accept the commands of God, we don't go alone. We go with this God who is taking us by the head and the hand and the heart and leads us forward. And that's a word for all of us today in the transitions and the decision points of where we are. But there's a second. Flip to chapter 7 with me. We go from chapter 1 to chapter 7. And I want you to notice something. Chapter 7 and 8 are one story. Here's what happened. God has led his people to cross the Jordan River to a place at Gilgal where they get ready and they go to Jericho and they defeat Jericho with a 7-day plan, not to lose weight but to gain a city. And after that 7-day plan, the next little place up the road is just a curve in the road. It doesn't even have a Dollar General. It's just a little curve in the road. And it's called Ai. And said, we need to leave a lot of people here and let them rest up. We don't need many people to go up there. And they go up there and they lose and they lose. And they turn their backs to little Ai and they scamper back to Jericho and Gilgal. What happened? Well, in the taking of Jericho, a man from the tribe of Judah, a man from the clan of Zerah, a man by the name of Achan, as he was fighting, the Bible tells us that he saw some gold of Shinar, which is Babylon. He saw it, and he desired it, and he took it, and he hid it, and he would pay a price for it. Because after the defeat, Joshua just says, God, what's going on here? And God said, get up off your face and stand on your feet. I'm going to show you what's wrong. And God led Joshua to the tribe, to the clan, to the man who confessed that he had taken what was contraband. He had taken it first in his heart, and then he took it with his hands, and it caused him and his family to lose their life. And then the regrouping is this. Now they're able to go and defeat Ai and Bethel. Here's the second thing about transitions, is that some transitions are failure transitions. They are caused by our sin. They're caused by some stumbling and fumbling of life because we did not do what God called us to do. And so here is God renewing his man. Here is God renewing his people. Here is God picking up his mighty army out of the ashes of defeat and giving them many victories ahead. One of the things I'm doing in my private devotional life is I'm reading a lot of Middle Age prayers. The Middle Ages, not middle age, that would fit me. But Middle Ages, like 500 years ago and 1,000 years ago. And you say, what do those old dusty, rusty prayers have to do with somebody who's living in the 2020 iPhone age? A lot. They're not the shallow, squeaky clean prayers that are so often a part of our lives today. And in your worship guide, there's one of these prayers I discovered. Lord, you are mercy. You are tender towards your children, and your mercy is all over your works. Heal the memories of hurt and failure. Give us wisdom and grace to arise aright the time that is left to us on earth, to turn to Christ and follow in His steps and the way that He leads to everlasting life. Now and to Him who is able be praise and honor and glory forever. Written 1,000 years ago. You see, in the 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th centuries, a long time ago, God's people were failing. They were stumbling and fumbling through life. They were not doing what He said do. And they were doing what He said don't do. And some wise Christian who had experienced God's forgiveness penned this prayer. And the Holy Spirit is putting it before you today that one of the transitions that we cause ourselves to go into is a transition of failure, whether it's publicly known, certainly privately, certainly in our heart. It's not the end of the story. Joshua tells us that God forgave His people and cleansed them, renewed them, and they moved on forward to conquer and settle the promised land. And it could be today that somebody here this morning is in a transition of failure. And you have nobody to blame but yourself. And I'll not stand up here this morning and give you a 32-teeth white smile, some thin-skinned, coo-whip sermon like a Joel Osteen, but to stand up here today and say that you are in the transition of failure because it's your fault and nobody else's. But it's not the end of the story. The end of the story is the mighty grace of God who comes and lifts us up out of the ashes of defeat and failure and sets our feet on high and moves us forward through that transition. It could be today that you need a victory in your life, but it's something that you can never achieve without the power and the working of God in your life, and that is this renewal from failure. It happened in the book of Joshua. Third and last this morning, the last transition. We leave a legacy for family and friends and faith. If you go to the last two books of Joshua, turn with me to, the last two chapters. Chapters 23 and 24. I want you to note something here. We don't have time to read these two chapters, but you do. Turn off the television, get off the phone, get in a quiet place, and read Joshua 23 and 24, because these two chapters are Joshua's closing challenge to the people of Israel. Boy, they are deep. And it reminds us that he leaves behind a legacy. He's transitioning to the end of his life. And the only transition left for the mighty leader general is to die and to go to heaven. But he's got something to say before he goes. Every one of us in this room is living, and we're going to leave a transition. And let me remind you today from the depth of my heart, ever how you are living, that is what you're going to be leaving. Let me say that again. Ever how you are living, that is what you are leaving. You cannot be living X and leave a legacy of Y. God doesn't allow that. God will overrule that. You may deceive yourself. You may let somebody else deceive yourself that you can live this kind of legacy, maybe one of rottenness, and somehow, after you're dead and gone, the legacy is going to be righteousness. It does not work like that. If you live a life of rottenness, you're going to leave a legacy of rottenness. If you live a life of righteousness, you're going to leave a legacy of righteousness. That's how it works. And you and I know the heart of Joshua, this great man of God. He had lived a life of faith, and that's what he has left Israel. His best known statement is 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And how did the people respond? In 24:24, the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, His voice we will obey." And then Joshua writes this covenant and records God's word, as it says in 24:26. And then the book ends with three burials: Joshua's, the bones of Joseph, and the high priest Eleazar. You see, your legacy is going to be over on this earth one day. Your transitions are going to be over with. We're going to bury you, bury me. But the work of God is going to go on. And there was a desperate, deep need for Christian legacy to be left behind. We have lived in Christ. We transitioned to heaven. And the legacy left behind is that of Christ. In your worship guide is a poem I stumbled upon 2 weeks ago, I believe by Helen Steiner Rice. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the blackest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes. Faith answers I. That was not written by Joshua, but it was lived by the man Joshua. And his legacy was faith in God. And what did he leave behind for us to accomplish and to imitate? A life of faith. And we have men in this congregation who were named Joshua because of the strong and mighty faith that it represents. But some of us don't choose to live like Joshua. We choose to live filled with fear and doubt. And we become like the laboratory cat I read about this past week who was fed LSD. Now that's an awful thing, but back in the long time ago, they took animals and they fed them different psychedelic drugs, see how they react. And this lab cat was fed LSD. And when he was shown a little mouse, he recoiled and ran in great fear. You see, God designed the cat to be like the top cat up there. He sees the mouse as little. But some of us fill our minds and our hearts with fear and doubt. And when we are shown problems, instead of letting God lead us to attack these and embrace these and settle these, we see little problems and we run in great fear. That was not the legacy of Joshua. He saw major problems. But because God had gripped his heart when he saw these problems, he didn't recoil and run. Instead, what did he do? He stood and fought. And he led his people through that transition to the next one and to the next one. The great reformer Martin Luther wrote, the Dutch theologian, Desiderius Erasmus, uncertainty is the most miserable thing in the world. I believe something today. I believe there's some folks in this church house this morning who were in a transition. I don't know what your transition is. It's serious. It's real. And because you've told God to stay away, and you've reached your hand back away from Him and closed your heart to Him and filled your mind with fear and doubt, you are filled with uncertainty this morning. Luther was right. Uncertainty is the worst way to live. When I look at the book of Joshua, I do not see an uncertain leader warrior for Israel. I see a man filled with head to heel, filled with the power and the promise of God. I see a God taking this man and leading this people into this transition and this transition and this transition until the final transition of Joshua into heaven. I see certainty. And the victory of God in Jesus Christ brings us, gives us that same kind of certainty today. No matter who we are, what transition we're in, no matter whether we're going forward with God or reverse in faith and in doubt and fear, it doesn't matter, friend. God is wanting to take you and give to you the same kind of victories and successes and confidence and certainty that He gave His man Joshua. And here's my closing thought. Life can be filled with great days when you go through your transition with God. You and I cannot imagine the greatness of the days that are in our lives stored up for us that become real when we go forward with God. Just as He did with Joshua, He does with us. He leads us in our constant transitions and never-ending decisions. Each of us this morning is in some kind of transition. I'm asking you today to allow the God of Joshua, to allow the God of victory, to move you forward into and through and out of this transition. For this is a God of victory who always guides faithfully. Let's pray. Father, thank you for laying this on our hearts and our minds. Father, may we receive it as good soil, as the sower sowed the good soil upon the seed and it brought forth a hundredfold crop. Father, this is the word you have for us today because every one of us is in a transition. Whether we're young or old, whether we've been through hundreds or thousands of transitions, we're in one or entering one or coming through one. And Father, help us to have all the certainty of heaven that you are with us and leading us. Thank you for the man Joshua who lived it and it was recorded about him so that it may speak to our hearts today. Father, give us this kind of certainty in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, that we don't wake up any morning or go to sleep any night knowing a life of uncertainty, but one of sureness and faithfulness of God in Christ in us. Father, continue to let you lead us, for we've never gone this way before. But you're ahead of us. And in all victory in Christ will be ours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe this morning as you heard the preacher, but I hope and pray that you really heard the Lord speaking to you, that in whatever transition you are, you've given it to the Lord. You're not going to clutch it. You're not going to keep it. You're not going to hide it under a basket. You're not going to put it somewhere secretly. You're going to give your transition to God this morning and let Him lead you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever it is, that's what Joshua did. And have that same kind of certainty as we live and move and have our being in Him. Maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart that the transition you're in and the life you're facing is one without Christ. If you're lost this morning, lost friend, I share with you four things you must know and do. First of all, you must know that God loves you. Secondly, you must know that you have a sin problem that you or no one else can fix. But thirdly, it is Jesus who died for our sins on the cross and was buried and raised the third day, that whoever repents and believes will have that sin problem fixed and eternal life given to them now and forevermore. And when you die, you'll be transitioned into heaven. And the fourth is that you will confess Him to be saved and confess Him publicly in baptism and live a Christian life for Him. And He will lead you through all these transitions of life. But where you are today is without Christ. And the Holy Spirit is pleading with you to come. And your pastors will be standing down front in a moment. And if God is stirring in your heart to make any kind of decision for Christ or for giving this transition to Him, or whatever it may be, if He's leading you to make a public decision, you do it on the first stanza. You come, and as you stand and sing in the pew, just say, Lord, I give you my transition. Take my life. Lead me forward. God bless me in this way. Let's stand and sing.